VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Tim picks the songs that appeared before him. You know, like Ben and I go out and we're like foragers in the forest. Like, gotta find it. We're like truffle pigs. We're like digging them up. And we bring them back to Tim and he's like, oh, this is good. I'll take this. But it's whatever came by, like whatever happened to come by the table he was sitting at. Like a guy in a bar played a song. It's his favorite song of the year.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
In Knoxville.
Beautiful, man. Lovely day today. Feeling good.
Oh, lovely. Jeff Simons, you went for a hike today in Marin County.
I went for a hike even longer than I intended to hike for. I'm a tired little panda here, but that felt great.
All right. Are you ready to talk about 2004?
I am
really excited. Hey, I had been pleading with people to help us get to 10,000 listens, and I failed to mention that we got there.
Yeah.
So for all those listeners out there, thank you so much. Somehow, the little podcast that could has reached 10,744 listens.
Look at that.
God love you.
By the way, I think Jeff will agree with me. Thanks to you, Timmy. Like, yes. Dude, you're the guy. Nuts. You're running it. You're the business side. I will admit, Jeff and I are the talent. But you're the management for sure. It's amazing. You're the best.
I love that turned into a self-compliment. That was great.
I'm nothing but believe me.
I want to welcome everybody to 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys who are thinking very highly of themselves. We're part of the Drive-In Podcast Network. Go to musiccitydrivein.com. There'll be podcast articles, all sorts of great stuff for you there. I did want to say, though, with this pat on the back about listens, we have this week a new rating and a new review.
Oh.
Is that true? Hopefully it's not Jeff giving us 2 stars again.
We're up to 36 ratings, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Out of 10,000 listens. And this rating was 5 stars.
Aww.
And the title of the review says 6 stars, but. So I'm like,
ooh, spicy. I like it. That draws me in. Tell me more.
Was going to try to figure out how to leave a 6-star review until Islands in the Stream had to knock it down to 5 stars.
That's awesome. That's perfect.
That's rough.
That's perfect. A 5-star podcast with one exception. That's perfect. Well, now we can transfer all our energies into getting River Run to a milestone listen. I am dangerously close to 5,000 listens. Podcast listeners,
excellent.
You could, at the conclusion of this outstanding episode, you could switch your focus over to Spotify, check out the record, and maybe next week we can announce 10,000. The power of this podcast on that milestone listening point. So that
love it. Love it.
Very
well,
nice.
Before we get to 2004, Jeff Simons, could you cue up The Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated?
Yes, I can. Is there... Oh, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, you do. Tom Morello tweeted this out. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. I love this idea.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about then. I thought you were going to talk about your colonoscopy again.
What?
That's a great joke, Jeff.
That's a pat. Listen, get ready to pause. pause. 2020, 24 hours to go. We're almost done with this year, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that joke.
The Ramones, well, Tom Morello pointed out, but the Ramones foresaw how difficult 2020 would be. And in 24 hours, we will be out of it, done.
On a related topic of the difficulty of being our age, I heard that song at the Kroger.
It's so great, isn't
they
it?
They played that at the freaking grocery store.
I love it.
I was
it.
Like, I'm literally like, I'm like at the broccoli area, and I'm like, this one's a little small, this one's a little brown, and then I'm like,
what's that?
And I look up, and I'm like, oh my God, they're playing the Ramones at the grocery store. I should just shoot myself now and move on.
I am so with you. When did the Ramones become farmer's market music?
Oh like, my God, it's easy listening. It's easy listening. Yeah, I know, it hurts so my great. Feelings so bad.
I totally with you though. It makes me laugh. It's so great. The other joke I like about 2020 is that January 1st at 1 second, hindsight will be 2020 for the first time ever, which I like.
Nice.
I wish I could credit the person who said it, but it was one of those like,
go ahead.
Hey, that was clever. Scroll.
It was Tom Morello as well.
It was probably Tom Morello as well.
All right, let's go to the 2004 Grammy winner. Ben Barton, we're getting closer to our era, so you might have some guesses or even remember who won Grammys in certain years. Any ideas for 2004?
First None. Of all, I love it. You ask Jeff questions about the Olympics that he actually knows, and you ask me questions specifically that I have no idea. You're like, hey, Ben Barton, what happened with Freedom Fries? Tell me more. I'd already proven I know nothing. I have no idea. All I know is that I hate it and it sucks.
It's the Grammy winner.
Daughters by John Mayer.
Let's hear it.
I expect big things.
I got a bad feeling.
Fair.
I know exactly
she
this one.
Puts the color inside of my world.
Are we good?
Sure.
Machines.
We're not going to
so
do
thank
the
you for, thank you for starting
mothers.
Me. So this is Daughters by John Mayer.
That's right.
Let me just go ahead and state with great clarity. I have two lovely daughters, and I'm a massive, gargantuan sucker for art about daughters. Anything about daughters at all is just a weird fest for me. In particular, there's a great story where I went and gave a talk in England. So I'm flying back from England. And on the flight back from England, you can't sleep. So you're just watching movies over and over again. And so I watch Ice Princess, the Disney movie.
Oh, yeah.
And my recollection of the Ice Princess movie, it's about a mom and a daughter who's really into ice skating. And the mom doesn't understand the daughter.
Okay.
And then at the end, they have a beautiful refresh mold. So I'm like, I'm in the middle seat. You know those five seats on the international thing? I'm in the middle seat watching this. We've been on the flight for 6 hours. I'm bawling, like to an embarrassing, like I'm like hiccuping and almost going to puke. And like there's like snot coming down my face. And the poor woman next to me is like, love. And I'm like, ice princesses. Like I'm going to like just lose my mind. That's how much I love art about daughters. And I still hate this song.
That means you really hate it.
Yeah.
Wait, it was called Ice Princess 2005 with Michelle Trachtenberg, Kim Cattrall, Joan Cusack.
Kim Cattrall. That is so great.
Joan Cusack is the mom. Anything with Joan Cusack is the mom. Oh,
she's great.
Amazing.
She's great.
Oh,
love her.
She's the best.
All right, Jeff Simons, are you a fan of John Mayer?
No, I'm not. I've seen John Mayer accidentally a bunch of times. Vote for
you
Change.
Probably saw him with the Dead, right?
I actually saw John Mayer's audition for the Dead at Terrapin Crossroads with like 350 people. I was having dinner there randomly, and Phil Lesh walked by from the Grateful Dead, and I taught Phil's kids, so I know him a little bit, and I wave, and he stops. He's like, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" And I was like, "I'm having dinner at your restaurant." He's like, "Well, stick around. You should come by the big room in an hour. I'll put you on the list. And it was John Mayer's audition to join Dead & Company. So the room holds like 400 people. It's where Branson does its Rock Band final exam.
Wow.
It's a great little room. But I walk in there and it's like Phil and all the Dead & Company guys and John Mayer. And they play, you know, it was his, let's see if it'll works. So I saw that.
He was hired.
Yeah, he got it. He's a perfectly good guitar player. I love him in that Dave Chappelle where he helps Dave Chappelle test what music people like. He's obviously got a sense of humor. But I think I wish he would push a little bit more when he looks for insight. Like that girls become mothers that turn into lovers or whatever the hell that is. It sounds good. And I'm sure when he said it out loud the first time, he's like, oh, that's clever. But the fifth time you hear it, it's like, ugh. No thanks. And also, he's given a couple of really ill-conceived interviews that suggest he might be an unrepentant douchebag, which concerns me. I have never spoken to him, and maybe it's just hatchet jobs or bad interviews or bad days, but he's not handled his public persona well enough for me to forgive him his musical faults.
It's also so cheesy. It's cheesy. Hearing it, I was like, oh, I missed Tears in Heaven.
That was Eric Clapton playing guitar right there. And also, so last week
he's a much better electric player than an acoustic player. I actually think he's a damn fine electric guitar player, but I don't love his acoustic. I think it's particularly his acoustic stuff that bugs me, and that's the stuff that sold the best. And so he went away from being an electric guy, and so I was pissed at him for that, and that probably all steamrollers together.
He also, and I'll return to this later, he wasn't nice to Taylor Swift. Which I'm out on.
Oh, that's right.
That's a bad idea.
I forgot about that.
He's a huge villain in our house for that reason.
Okay. All right. Fathers, be good to your daughters. Dance with my father last week. So we've got father and son, father and daughter's relationships. I think we're done for a little while.
Okay, good.
All right.
I will have a daughter coming up in 2012. I might want to return to it, but I can wait for 8 weeks to return to that conversation.
Sounds good. All right. If we're talking about 2004, there's one story that we have to start with. Jeff Simons, you could probably guess what I'm going to start with in 2004.
Well, you said my name, so I was afraid you were going to talk about my divorce, but maybe you're going to take it easy on me.
No, Jeff.
I just got the cold sweats. Like, there's one story with this podcast. No, what is it?
The Curse of the Bambino.
Oh, that was this year.
Red Sox.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
That was so fun.
That's weird. I don't remember that. That's funny.
Clever. All right. Well, the Summer Olympics were held, Jeff Simons, in where?
I don't remember. I forgot, and I didn't look it up. I realized today you were going to ask me. I stopped paying attention when I know all the stuff from when I was a kid, but now I'm like, when does Michael Phelps start eating Subway sandwiches? Like, it's all a blur now. Is it Athens? Is this when they go?
This is excellent. This is Michael Phelps' summer in
Greece.
That's
what I thought. Yeah.
By the way, you're a sandbagger, Jeff. You knew all that shit.
You
were like, I couldn't remember if it was Athens or Michael Phelps, and it was both. That's a bad look.
I don't know where 2008 was, so
it's all right. You got 4 years to figure it out.
I do.
All right, we've got George W. Bush beating John Kerry in Ohio. The Madrid train attack. Remember that? It was such a horrible, horrible story. Spain entering into this world of terrorism, for reals. But it couldn't compare to the awful tsunami. That
I remember.
I remember
that was amazing.
I remember being terrifying. Absolutely overwhelmed by the tsunami story.
I remember it really well. And actually, I consider this a puzzle of human existence. So this part of the story is, the water pulls all the way out. Half a mile out.
Right.
And it's a beautiful beach town. Like in my mind, it's this beautiful beach town. There's a bunch of people on the beach. And I always wonder this. I'm like, if the water goes out on the beach, what, like, so a bunch of people were like, what the hell's going on? And walked towards the thing.
No.
Because they were like, well, that's weird. I should investigate, which I understand. Like, that's an actual human response to it, right?
You should be booking it the other way. It's the same thing with the Katrina
thing, where, like, people were like, these, you know, like, the levees have been here since 1880. We should just stay. And I always wonder, I'm like, would I do that? Would I have done that? Or would I have seen it gone out and been like, well, that's not good. Like, I've seen that a lot in my life. And I'm going to go and speculate that it's not good and I'm gone, like gone. And there were people like basically like some percentage of the people walked out and looked at it or just stayed in the beach and were like, surely it'll work out. And some smaller percentage of people got in their cars and drove as far as they could inland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, and those people lived. Like, they were, like, the crazy thing about a tsunami is there's an actual, like, a slight amount of warning to it, which is, like, when the water sucks out, you're like, dude, get out of Dodge.
290,000 dead.
Yeah, with a lot of people live on the beach in Thailand.
Staggering.
Yeah.
Staggering.
Well, I remember footage from a high-rise, like, 30 blocks away from the beach, and you see the wave.
Oh, my God, the wave.
It comes up to like the 35th floor and these people are on the roof screaming and the camera is shaking. And I mean, it's one of the most horrifying,
awful
events I've ever seen captured on like home photography. I mean, it was really, that's
powerful.
It's funny. It's indelibly printed in my mind. And then like, I had nightmares about it for a week. Like, you know, like this kind of like I'm stuck.
In oh yeah.
Disaster and you're powerless. And there's a moment, I mean, we've had quite a few earthquakes out here.
Sure.
I moved here after the last really bad one. We had one that lasted about 8.5 seconds 2 years ago. And about second number five, you have that, like, I have no control and who knows, you know,
right.
I wonder if this is ever going to stop. And you just become this, like, primal, like, mammal. Like, you're no longer, like, thinking with your human brain. Like, it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it starts, and you just, it subsides on the other side and your human self comes back to you. But I imagine that when you see that wave coming, that just must be what hits you. You know?
Well, I don't think we could just go from there into the Grammy, can we?
Let's do the, we did the Grammy.
Sorry, we did
now
the
we get
Grammy.
To the number one hit, because hopefully it's Usher's Yeah.
And you are right, my friend. It's your
It's the number one hit.
Yeah, by Usher, featuring Lil Jon and Ludacris.
In the club with my homies, tryna get a little VI, keep it down on the low key. You should know how I'm feeling. Shorty, she was checking up on me. From the game, she was spitting in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat.
Okay.
Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
Watch out.
She's saying, come get me. So I got up and followed her to the floor. She said, baby, let's go. When I told her, I said,
good
first of all,
stuff.
The Lil Jon parts where he's yelling over it, just freaking murder me every time.
Oh, it's the greatest.
It's so good. He's a great, I mean, he's not Flava Flav, but he's an amazing hype man. Like, just yelling, yeah! So good.
Yeah, so apparently the album was done, and Usher brings it to, what was his name, L.A. Reid, or I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, Babyface, sure.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we don't have a, it's great. We just don't have a first single. We need another single. We need the first single. What's the first single? And so Usher was sent back to the, into the studio and your boy Lil Jon came in and saved the day.
Yeah. Times three. It's amazing. Yeah. Such a good joke. Yeah. Everything about that song is hilarious.
Yeah, it is. That's great, man. That's a worthy number one. That
12 weeks at number one.
Yeah,
I mean,
and in 2004,
you couldn't
that's
escape
incredible.
It. That year,
right?
It was a lot of yeah.
All right, where to go next in 2004? I don't think my sister is going to be too upset with this story, but worst date ever material. She's on a blind date in New York City, and she's getting to know the guy, and he talks about having served in Iraq. And she's like, "Oh, were you a soldier?" He's like, "No, I was a contractor." It's like, "Oh, what kind of contracting did you do?" "Well, I was I helped with the prisons." She's like, "Oh." She kind of looks at him. He's like, "Yeah, I was at Abu Ghraib." She's like, "Okay." Check. This was the year that CBS News breaks the Abu Ghraib prison story and all those awful photographs come to light.
That's pre-election, right? That all that comes to light? And yeah, we still, the election still turns out the way it does. Just still pointing out.
Okay, good, 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 good. Hey, we have a lot of wonderful listeners who are conservative, Jeff Simons. Let's hold them in our embrace for a little while longer.
That's fine.
And also keep in mind that 2004 election is the most recent time that a Republican won a majority of the vote.
I know. I was going to say, like, you know, like at least he actually got more votes. So I can.
Oh, and certainly he.
That was a weird election year. You know, like. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, like, that was a weird election because, you know, obviously I was pulling for Kerry, but somewhere in July I was like, he is not going to win this. Like, this guy does not have the energy and the.
Oh, three things just murdered. Three things required. To me announced it to me. The first was that basically they were like, you got to run him. He's a war hero. And that'll really confuse people about Bush because he didn't fight in the war. I'm like, he threw away his freaking medals. Yeah. Like, that's not going to work out for us. That was one.
Second, he threw them away the moment he arrived, too.
And Jeff will get this for sure. He arrives at Pat's Steaks in the swing state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, no. Yes. What'd he do?
And
no.
When you arrive at Pat's Steaks, they ask you if you would like your steak with whiz or without whiz.
Right.
Which means, would you like cheese whiz on your steak? And he says, do you have provolone? And I was like, oh, you're done. Like, this election is over.
Yep.
And I mean, someone should have coached him up on that.
He was known as a flip-flopper. And this is the same thing. Like, and it's a bipartisan. This happened to poor Romney. Like, there's sometimes you can't get out of your own way. Right. He's known as a flip-flopper. He's at another, like, now he's in Western Pennsylvania. He's at a diner. And the woman comes over and says, what do you have, hon? And he says, I have such a hard time making up my mind. And this, like, all of the networks are there watching. And he's like, what would you recommend? Because I'm so confused. I can't decide.
Oh, no.
I was like, will you freaking order a hot dog and move on? You're murdering me.
Just a steak well done with ketchup on the side, and apparently you'll see this,
like the Romney thing, like the similar thing was when he was like, NASCAR, I love NASCAR. Many of my friends own NASCAR. Yeah, I was like, dude, not okay. Please.
All right, moving right along. Jeff Simons, before we get to the impossible question, Shrek 2 comes out.
It's true.
And you are on the soundtrack for Shrek 2.
Rich Price, my dear friend, invites me to help him make a record that year. And we are on a major label and we do a little touring. And I'll be damned if one of his songs doesn't end up on the Shrek 2 soundtrack.
Which one?
It's called I'm On My Way.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
remember that one? Good song, well, okay, yeah. We can give a little bit of love to that. If I lift my head. That's my one and only professional mandolin credit. I play the mandolin.
Nice.
That.
You didn't play bass on that.
Huh. Bass and mandolin. Oh. Yeah.
That's what they hired. I love that song.
It's good. And it still gets played all. It's Shrek 2 soundtrack was a big, big hit. It had
Accidentally
Already
in Love soundtrack, right?
That's
And it had I Need Some Sleep by the Eels. There's a Joe Arthur song.
Another great song.
It's a great soundtrack. It's really a bunch of great songs. And it continues to keep
turning profits.
You know, I think Rich buys a Christmas present with it every year. So,
all right.
Mr. All right.
Well, let's go to the impossible question. It's in our science department has brought this one to us. I want to know, this is your impossible question, which of these NASA projects would you most want to be part of? Like when you go to the bar in your single days to pick up a woman, which one do you think will get you the farthest? Ready? We've got the Mars Spirit Rover, which is stranded on Mars because its memory's messed up. NASA sends a software patch through space and reformats its memory, and the rover goes spinning around Mars. Or the Cassini probe travels 2.2 billion miles in 7 years to study Saturn's rings. And when it gets there, it drops a probe to land on Saturn's largest moon, which is?
Io?
Titan. Or the third choice, the Gravity Probe B, which is launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California and goes into a precise polar orbit to test Einstein's theory of relativity and see if the Earth's gravity at the poles is affecting time. I mean, those are three awesome projects from NASA in 2004. Which one do you want to be a part of?
I think anytime you're trying to pick up someone, you should use the word probe as often as possible. So I'm going to go with one of the probe ones.
First of all, I disagree. None of those are human. You got to be Chuck Yeager. You got to get out and fly on things that go places.
Yep.
No woman's, if you're like, I helped the Mars rover, she'll be like, check please. Like, I'm like, no thanks with that.
Well, she'll think you can reformat her DVR, really.
That is true. She won't be
You're very helpful.
She'll be like, totally. Can you help me with my email?
You guys are terrible. You're killing the scientists in our audience. 2.2 billion miles. Check out. Look at some of those the photos.
Okay. It's also an audio format, and those all look like vulva.
They really do.
Oh, wait. This
I was like, what the hell are you holding up?
This is my colonoscopy. I thought those were Saturn's. I thought those were Saturn's
You're the worst.
Moons.
You have to edit that out. You're a disaster.
All right.
I think I see a small probe.
That really was. That was Titan right there.
Let's go.
That, by the way, definitely what I'm calling your lower intestine from now on, Tim. How's Titan?
Let's go to our three songs. Our three songs. Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. I have a 2004 didn't have like a slam dunky dunk one for me.
By the way, I'm worried for you, my friend.
You're worried for me. Oh no, I don't think you have to be worried. My heart wants to go with the Swedish psychedelic.
I thought you were going to choose a Dungeon song.
Dungeon.
That's why I'm worried.
Dungeon. I'm not choosing Dungeon. But if you've never heard
what is it?
Dungeon.
No. If you've never heard
readers,
Dungeon, good for you. That means you're a regular person.
They're great, though. They're the Swedish psychedelic band. They have a flute player. They're everything Ben loves about rock and roll. But
they're
I recommend
a Swedish
them.
Version of Led Zeppelin plus a flute player. What could
that's
go wrong?
Kind of great.
That's really like, what a recipe.
It really is. It's like Swed Zeppelin. It's really good. But the band I'm
going to pick. And by the way, I've seen them live.
I saw them with you.
Wow.
They were great.
Jeff dragged me to go see them live at Bonnaroo.
Okay. I've seen them four times. They're equally as good. Anyway.
All right.
I'm not picking Dungeon. So I want to shout out my buddy Quinn, who is a listener of the podcast and a guy who I grew up with. He's one of my oldest friends. Fabulous taste in music. Like anytime Quinn tells me I should check something out, I check it out immediately. And I give it time. Like he's one of those guys who you know, anything he recommends is worth 3, 4, 5 listens. So I'm in Los Angeles. I'm visiting him. We're at Amoeba Music. And we're just through the racks. And he comes over. He's like, hey, you should check this guy out. And he hands me the first album by a guy named Ted Leo. Never heard of him. And but you know, it's like used $4. I'm like, done, grab it. I take it home and I really like some things about it right away. It's got a great punk energy. He's a great guitar player. He has this impossibly high tenor voice. It's like Geddy Lee high. But I'm having trouble getting into it. It's got all these elements I like, but the lyrics are kind of esoteric and they're like, it's one of those records where like the names of the songs, like you have no idea why the songs are called that. Like there's no hook to dig into. But you know, I stuck with it, and then I bought this year. Leo puts out a record called "Shake the Sheets," and I just bought it without having heard any of it. I'm going to give this guy one more chance. And this is the record, I think, when Ted Leo puts it all together. The first record, called "The Tyranny of Distance," several great songs, but it doesn't, for me, it's not a start to finish listen. Same thing with "Hearts of Oak." But this record I love. I like it all the way through. It's 11 tracks. Each one's a banger. The band is absolutely white hot, tight from years of touring.
The Pharmacist.
The Pharmacist. I saw them on this tour. They delivered it live, which makes me love a record even more. And my favorite song on it is actually the last song. It's the fade out track. There are other songs that are more indicative of the breadth of Leo's talent. But this is this song... It's shallow. It's a great running song. Like, it's just one of those songs where it starts your toe a tapping. I love the vocal melody. I like the production. And Leo's a great guitar player. Out of that kind of, like, he's one of those punk rock guys who learned how to play and then learned how to play with nuance. So my song for 2004 is super random choice in terms of popularity, but it's a great song called "Walking to Do" by Ted Leo and the Pharmacist.
"Walking to Do" by Ted Leo and the Pharmacist.
Walking to Do?
Walking to Do.
All right. Good stuff. Where are they now? What's Ted Leo doing now?
Ted Leo took a big chunk of time off. The Pharmacist put out a great record after this called "Living with the Living," and then they make three more great records actually. Like, I like his whole catalog coming up, and I'm a huge super fan from like 2004 to 2008-09. He disappears for 5 or 6 years. Then returned as a solo artist and made a record, which is a little bloated. It's like 16 songs, and I got lost in the middle. Like, it didn't have the same kind of like impact that the Pharmacist records had. He didn't tour it. He made a record with Amy Mann called "The Both," but he seems to be in semi-retirement migration. I'm not sure what's going on with him, but he hasn't played in the Bay Area in years, and I'm kind of waiting for him to make a comeback. I hope he does.
All right.
I like Ted Leo, and I've got two Ted Leo stories.
All right.
I got one story and one note. One note is his cover of "Everybody Wants to Rule the World" is amazing.
So good.
I strongly recommend that you look that up and listen to it. It sounds great. That's actually, like, the bones of that song are great. It's a little keyboardy for me, but the Ted Leo version of it just crushes it. Awesome. Second story. Saw him at Bonnaroo, and it's like Bonnaroo basically has got these two big, huge outdoor stages and these three tents. And if you have a pass, you can stand sort of side stage of the tent. So I'm side stage, and it's a classic tent show where it's like 2 p.m. And it's Bonnaroo is a great place to go to see your favorite band because you're surrounded, at least at the beginning, there's like, I don't know, 250, 500, 1,000 people who also love this band. So there's some real Ted Leo fanatics all pressed up against the stage, just like waiting for him on the rail. And then he comes out, they're like, they know all the words. And when you're side stage, you can see all the fans and they're singing the words as they go. It was a great show. It was super fun. Yeah. Anyhow, as you might imagine at the Ted Leo show, it's a largely male audience.
Right.
And they're on the rail. It's like 99 guys, and there's this one really good looking punk woman there at the front who knows all of the words, and I was like, oh honey, You have no idea. Like, the line of people who want to talk to you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's like being a female comic book fan. Like, it's just like everyone's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Let me talk.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, they're great. You gave me their album, I guess, right around this time period.
Yeah.
I felt terrifically cool that I was in on something not popular.
That's a backhanded way of saying I've chosen an obscure song for 2004.
Oh, dude, yeah, at least it wasn't Dungeon.
Yeah. You didn't give me a Dungeon tape in 2004.
I can't pick a song. I mean,
it's
like
not
Dungeon,
in English. They do not sing in English.
They sing in Swedish. That was the deal breaker for me. It's like I can't set myself up for the vitriol.
We really could have brought the podcast to new places. We would have been huge in Scandinavia. Darn,
well, I don't think they're popular in Sweden. I'm just going to be frank.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're not exactly
First of all,
ABBA.
Robin is Swedish. Like, there are popular Swedish acts. They're just not Dungeon.
He's not wrong.
All right, Ben, what do you got for us in 2004?
Oh, my friends, I bring glad tidings of our first Kanye West selection. I've been hinting at it, and here we find ourselves the year of College Dropout.
Oh, boy.
So let me start at the beginning. Boy. Kanye West is born 1977 in Atlanta. His mom is a professor, and his dad is a photographer for the AJC. When he's three, his parents split, and his mom moves to Chicago for a really good job opportunity. She goes to Chicago State, and she's an English professor there, and then she's actually the chair of the English department there. And when Kanye's 10, they actually travel and spend a whole year in China, where she's basically on an exchange program teaching in China.
All right.
Kanye goes to high school in a suburban, it's like Oak Park, I think. Basically, like, he lives, this will be super interesting. Most of the African-American hip-hop people feature their very rough upbringing. And Kanye's he wasn't a rich person, but he was a middle class person with a very, very super smart and decorated mom.
Yeah.
He gets a full ride to go to the Art Academy in Chicago, and he begins to study painting. But if you know Kanye at all, you can imagine he's not a patient person. So that doesn't work out for him. So he drops out, and then he goes to Chicago State, where his mom's a professor. He makes it to his sophomore year, and he drops out again. This is a really hard thing for him. The most important, and this is, he will say this, the most important relationship in his life is with his mom. His mom is a professor at this institution, and the only thing she's ever told him is, I need you to graduate from college. That's all I'm asking for you, is I need you to graduate from college. And he drops out. And the reason he drops out is because he can't go to class anymore. He's got a burgeoning music career. And he's like doing just the stories of what a hustler this guy is. Like, he's just producing people. He's in a group rap act. He's doing everything in Chicago. He's building this like base of things. His mom introduces him to No ID, who's like a well-known raconteur and like the World Wide West of the rap acts in Chicago. He keeps getting to bigger and bigger fish. He eventually gets to Jay-Z. He produces the HOVA Izzo song, and he's made now. He's the Rockefeller producer guy. He's been recording his own material rapping since the early 90s. And now in 1999, he starts recording this stuff for College Dropout. Every place he goes, so he's a really, really, really hot producer. He produces Janet Jackson and a bunch of Jay-Z songs. Wow. He's got a bunch of amazing work in there. Talib Kweli, he's got several records that he works on. So he's getting all these meetings with record industry people, and they wanted to be a producer. And he's like, oh, but I'm a rapper too. And he keeps playing his demo, which includes Jesus Walks and Hall Falls Down and Through the Wire. Like, he's got bangers, future top 10 hits on this demo. And they're all like, no, 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 no.
Wow.
No. And the reason why is that everyone's into this gangster rap thing. Like, if you remember a year ago, we had the 50 Cent thing, right? Yep. And so everybody wants this authentic African-American experience. And by that, they mean this poor person's African-American experience, right, where you talk about being a gangster. No one wants to hear this sensitive kid from Chicago rap about how hard it is to be middle class in Chicago. And so he keeps getting pushback. The last song on his first record is called Last Call. It's a 12-minute song that's got an 8-minute rambling, mumbling, just him describing his struggles with trying to get signed. Uh-huh. That song alone is amazing. That's not my selection, but that song is amazing.
Okay.
He gets to the 10-yard line, almost into the end zone with Capitol Records. The A&R guy loves him. They're basically going to sign him. It gets the president of Capitol Records, and he's like, why are we signing this guy? Have you heard 50 Cent? He sucks out. He can't rap.
Wow.
They cut him. The whole time, he's been the producer at Rockefeller. Did I mention that?
Yeah.
Rockefeller didn't sign him. When Capitol Records turns him down, Jay-Z is a favor. It's like, sure. Sure, man. We'll put out your record. That's how he gets signed to Rockefeller. They back into it, basically.
So Jay-Z's not excited about this.
No one's excited about it. There's this hilarious thing where the guy, the president of Rockefeller Records, says, we figured that if it sucked too bad, we'd just put all the Cameron raps first and we'd be fine. That was their actual take on the Kanye record. So it's supposed to come out in 2003. So one of the things is great. In my opinion, it's one of the all-time great debut records. And like a lot, like Zeppelin 1 or the first Cars record, like it tells you everything you need to know about the artist. So there's a whole bunch of things about this record that are very Kanye. The first thing is it's supposed to come out in August 2003. It doesn't come out till 2004. It's delayed by 9 months because he won't give it up. He won't let it go. He won't let it come out. He keeps recutting everything. Second, it's leaked 6 months beforehand. And of course, it's rumored it's leaked by Kanye. And he gets all of the feedback from it. And then he rewrites everything. He does the same thing with Life of Pablo. He puts the record out and then rewrites everything afterwards. So he drops three songs, adds three new songs, puts whole new verses on it. He's working on the freaking record up until the pressing. Like the night of the pressing, they're like, dude, you have to finish. And that was it. The record is a total game changer for rap in multiple different ways. The first thing is, it's not true exactly that he's the first sort of confessional rap thing, but he's on the first one where it's a huge, gigantic hit. He's super open and emotional and raw about he feels, and not raw about murdering people. He's raw about how hard it is to be a middle-class African-American guy who drops out from college. Like, there's a whole beautiful aspect to this. I mean, the Last Call and the record itself has a whole, he's got a whole verse in one of his songs about working at the Gap and shoplifting and then almost getting fired and then hating his manager, who he names. He's like, I hate that guy, and he names the guy.
Wow.
So good. He and his mom get evicted in Chicago.
Oh.
And then they move to Newark, not to New York, Newark, New Jersey. And if you know the New York area, he's a major producer at Rockefeller. And he's living in a shitty apartment in Newark, a full 45 minutes away, because he can't afford it. Like, he's just barely making it by. And he tells you all of this. He tells you how much it hurt his mom to drop out of college. He tells you how badly he wanted to be a rapper and how nobody would believe in him. Like, he's got this beautiful confessional aspect to it. So it's sort of raw and it's natural, similar to the Outkast. It expands the palette for all of this, and it's a sonic expansion and an emotional expansion. I can't say how much I love this record. My favorite song, and it may, I mean, it's in my top five Kanye songs, All Falls Down. Jeff, I would appreciate if you would start at 206, before you start at 206. So here's what I love about All Falls Down. The first verse is from a female perspective. And there's a bunch of amazing Kanye songs and where you can really tell where he's channeling his mom. He talks about how hard it is to be a black female in America, like what a challenge that is for people. Then he turns to himself. And then the third verse, he's got a whole like social justice narrative and an anti-corporate narrative and an anti wanting too many things narrative. It's amazing. Start at 206, please, Jeff.
All Falls Down by Kanye West.
It all falls down. I say fuck the police, that's how I treat them. We buy our way out of jail, but we can't buy freedom. We'll buy a lot of clothes, but we don't really need them. Things we buy to cover up what's inside, cause they made us hate ourselves and love they wealth. That's why shorty's hollering where the ball is at. Drug dealer by Jordan, crack kid by crack. And the white man get paid off for all of that. But I ain't even gonna act
totally up than that. But fuck it, I went to Jacob with 25,000 before I had a house, and I do it again. Cause I wanna be on 106 and park, wishing a Benz. I wanna act all horrific like it's all terrific. I got a couple past due bills, I won't get specific. I got a problem with spending before I get it. We all self-conscious, I'm just the first to admit. Yeah, come on, come on. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on.
Woo! So that, the all falls down, do you know that sample, Jeff?
No, I
fucking
don't.
Fucking crazy. It's Lauryn Hill's Mystery of Inequity from that insane MTV album, the acoustic album. So, I mean, I won't tell the long story of this, but Lauryn Hill puts out this like 22-song acoustic thing. Which Kanye hears this, focuses just, and that guitar part and that singing part are 100% her. He can't actually clear the rights to get her to sing it because she's Lauryn Hill, and you can't clear anything with Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
So you get somebody else to sing it, but she's the co-writer on this song. So beautiful. And his taste in sampling, like from this record all the way through to Ghost Town, is just perfect. Perfect. Like, he's got his finger on it. The record's got gospel sounds, it's got soul sounds, it's got Lauryn Hill. He covers the entire waterfront of the African American experience. It is beautiful to me. Hey, Jeff, the most credited musician on this record who is not Kanye West is who?
No idea.
John Legend.
No way.
Dude, huh. He signs John Legend. John Legend's record comes out the same year on Good that? Music. He's a Kanye West find. Isn't that insane?
That is amazing.
Dude, he plays piano and sings on 10 of the songs of the stupid record. Like, that's how good awesome. Kanye West's taste is. Like, he's just continuously finding these guys. Awesome.
So, speaking of confessional, not only have I never heard that song, Ben, I've never heard that record.
Never. Yeah, that hurts my feelings.
I'm sorry. I realized that that was going to be a showstopper. I'm going to listen to College Dropout tonight. I'm going to make it up.
Yeah, no, man, and you're going to dig it for sure.
Yeah, man. I'm off the rap train at this point. A lot of the stuff Ben likes, I hit a wall with for myriad reasons, but not Kanye West. When this record came out, kids are always telling me, you got to listen to this, got to listen to this. And I was tutoring a kid who was a hip hop fanatic. And we met in a library, and I think we were doing like SAT prep. It was the most boring stuff. And he was like, dude, before we do anything, you've got to buy the College Dropout. This is great. And he told me that he did a rambling 16-year version of the story Ben just told, like, well, mixed and Rockefeller and delayed. A lot of times when the kids recommend something to me, I'm like, I loved it from right away. And if, for Kanye and me, like, it's not a love fest the way it is with Ben, but I agree with him that this is if you're going to host a music podcast, it's time to check out the College.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got one more story about this.
I'm not the talent.
Perfect Kanye. The 2004 American Music Awards.
Oh, I love this story.
Kanye is up for Best New Artist, and he loses to Gretchen Wilson, the redneck woman, which, by the way, I mean, she did not have a great career after that, but that record is pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he loses to her, loses his mind, storms out, like turns over a table, like runs out. It's early Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Trump thing now that's so bizarre to me. And but that story sounds
a little bit like Trump. Oh, yeah, dude, this is 2004. In 2005, he's on the Katrina.
Yeah, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Oh, yes.
Mike Myers is like,
Myers.
Yeah, thanks, Kanye. Like, read the key card.
Oh, dude, it ended Mike Myers' career.
Mike Myers died in that moment.
That was fantastic. I remember watching, and like Kanye was so scared, and he was just like, you could tell when it was coming to him, it's like, oh, he's going off book. And then he just stuck it to Bush right in his grill on the national. I was like,
that was horrifying.
I was so proud of him that night. That was
I'll tell you, that sample, that sample we just played, Ben, I mean, having Lauryn Hill come in at that moment, and then he continues rapping as she's saying, that was beautiful.
Oh, that man. Gorgeous. He's like, his musicianship and his sense of taste for that is just gorgeous.
All right. Well, I am next week, ladies and gentlemen, I will have listened to College Dropout.
Is that going to be a thing we do? Like, can we make that a sub category? Like Tim listens to Kanye? That should be
No, because I do not want to listen to Rufus Wainwright. I am not listening to more any more Rufus Wainwright.
I think it'll be great though. We should have a like, you know, like Tim listens to Kanye, and then you could tell us what it was like, and we'll do it every year that he puts out a record.
It'll be like those two teenagers, like listening to Born to Run the first time.
No, that's exactly like, what I'm thinking about. That'll be great.
And just... the record is hilarious. The skits on the record are so funny. It's a fantastic, not Bernie Mac, but they have a comedian from Chicago imitating Bernie Mac, and you won't believe how hilarious the imitation is.
Okay.
It's one of the rare things where the skits actually add to the record. It's so funny.
College Dropout. All right. Well, I am going to... wrap things up right now. Very quickly. Thank you very much. you should have heard my tsunami joke. Jeff, I want to play a song. I think I first heard in a pub in Scotland, just a guy on a guitar singing this song. It is The Killers, All These Things I Have Done.
I'm on it. Hold on. It's going to be an ad.
You don't have The Killers?
Not this one. I'm not a big Killers guy.
Is it on Hot Fuzz? What's it on?
Yeah. Hot Fuzz.
All These Things That I've Done by The Killers.
When there's nowhere else to run, is there room for one more song? One more song.
Like that song, Jeff Simons.
Oh, it's fine. No,
you don't own that. Why don't you possess that song? That's a great song.
I possess Mr. Brightside from that record.
Is that it? That's the only song you have from that record?
It is. I think the thing with The Killers.
That's a tough get right there.
Yeah, look, I mean, I actually, as I was listening to it, it's like I have no objections here, but I the Vegas thing, like,
so
I feel like The Killers are if you're not watching them do it, it's less, it's just like when I see them live or when I'm watching the video, I'm like, oh, I get this. Like these guys are dynamic and it's a cool thing, but it doesn't draw me just orally as much as other stuff. And I don't know what it is. I think he oversings just a shade or what, but I have nothing against The Killers at all. It's music I should like. It never jumped to me and it never
really,
got to me.
Yeah, I've never seen them live. I've never seen a video. So I don't even know what they look like at all. But it seems to me they're a fairly consistent American rock act.
No question.
That's put out a bunch of albums.
I'm at a loss of why I don't. Maybe if I saw him live, it would help. I'm sure.
Ben Barton, are the Killers the U2 of Las Vegas? Go ahead.
So first, Timmy, I'll note, I have sad news for you. Here in 2004, we're going to experience this version of Jeff Simons more.
What do you mean? What?
There's a bunch of these bands that he just randomly doesn't like.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't understand why you don't like it. It sounds like everything else you like. And he's like, that's the problem. I like it, the jaded Jeff has come for a visit for sure. And we will see more of Jim will be here with us.
Oh my God. I can't wait to lean into that alter ego. Oh my God. I'm gonna change my outfit.
Believe me,
Jeff.
Like, and when we get to TV on the Radio, we'll have this discussion over and over again. There's been a lot of bands that I've been to Jeff like, surely you must like TV on the Radio is my favorite example, but surely you must like this. Like, they're TV awesome. The and they're like a remix of other things that we like. And he's like, no, I can't describe to you why. And he just exactly what he said, like, seems like I should like it. Don't like it. All of that being said, I mean, the Killers are not my favorite band.
Yeah.
What I really like about it, and I would imagine this is something you like about it too, is the kids really like them.
Really, yeah, they like do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And my experience is that people who like the Killers also like things that I like. So they're like, like for 2018, they played in Bonnaroo, and they're like, oh, you must be so excited for the Killers. And I was like, sure, I'll go see them. And they were good. They were definitely good. But then if you talk to a Killers person, they're like, oh yeah, I also like, they also like Pearl Jam. Like, they also like other things that I like. But, so that sort of greases the skids for me.
I don't like the whole album though. You know, it's like they got a lot of misses.
I'm not with Jeff. There's like five or six. That was not one of the ones, honestly. But there's five or six songs from that record that I have on my iTunes.
Somebody told me from that record. That's another.
I have
a live version of that, which I love from. So there's two songs from Hot Fuzz.
And Jenny was a Friend of Mine, Andy, You're a Star, and Change Your Mind. Those are the other ones that I have.
Yeah, those are all fine. I don't. I'm going to work
anytime you're calling a rock song, fine.
Oh, I know for sure. Yeah.
That's a kiss of death. Timmy listens to Kanye, and Jaded Jeff explains his dislike for records he should like. Those will be our
spinoffs.
Homework.
That's a go forward from here. Yeah, now. Yeah.
So let's close it out with a Jay Coughlin story. We're in Scotland. We saw this guy singing the song, and we're there over there for Joe's wedding. And Jay wakes up the next morning, and he's like, "God, what a hangover!" It's like, "Oh God." We've been over there in Scotland for Joe's wedding since Wednesday. It's now like post-wedding. It's Sunday morning. Jay's just like, God, my head just kills. It's like their beers have more alcohol over here or something. We're like, yeah, man. It's like 7% versus your Bud Light at like 3%. He's like, somebody want to tell me this Wednesday? So Jay Coughlin went to Scotland and just tried to keep up with his American drinking style, get his ass kicked by Scottish beer the whole time. Good stuff.
Oh my God. I've never had my ass kicked drinking as I did with Tim's friends. They are, I don't know if it's still like that, but in 2004, they were the NBA of Bud Light consumption. And I was single A at best. That was they were terrifyingly good.
Dear Bud Light, your product is poison.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. Good stuff in 2004. Do you already have your songs picked for next week, 2005?
I do. I'm excited for 2005. I'm going to be
too.
Pissed.
I'm
going to be pissed at Ben if he doesn't pick the song I want him to pick.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see.
No problem.
I have a very firm pick for 2000. I feel really good. 3, 4, and 5 have really worked out for me.
All right. Nice. Let's go.
How about you, gentlemen. Tim? You got yours or you still...
Is it another Rufus Wainwright? Is it Rufus Wainwright's next record?
I think Luther Vandross and Rufus Wainwright did a musical together in 2005.
By the way, some of the things, like one of the things that's a disadvantage for me and Jeff, or I'll just say for me, I won't say for Jeff.
Okay.
Sometimes, like a lot of, like, so this has happened, how many years have we had now?
30 something, right?
Yeah, 34 years.
34.
I could pick... There's 2 or 3 years where you pick a legitimate song that I'm freaking love. And I couldn't be happier that you picked it. I wished I had picked it. The Pogue song was like that. I like U2 one. Like, you've had some real bangers. And then you have some other ones like this one that's like within the guardrails. I'm like, whatever. Like, dude, the Killers were huge this year. That's fine. Then sometimes you come, again, not from left field. Not from the parking lot beyond left field. It's like from the AAA stadium, two hours away. Yeah. Like the one last week, I was like, what is happening here? Like, right. I don't like this really minor act that nobody else likes. And it's not even like that wasn't like there's five songs by that guy that anybody knows. And it wasn't one of them.
No, 14th Street. That's what I like. I mean, I can't wait till the reviewer gets to Friends in Low Places. The reviewer is going to attack us.
That's six going south.
Yeah, I like,
I think it's great. Like, it's Tim picks the songs that appeared before him. You know, like Ben and I go out and we're like, we're like foragers in the forest. Like, gotta find that. We're like truffle pigs. We're like digging them up. And we bring him back to Tim and he's like, oh, this is good. I'll pass on
I'll take this.
But it's whatever came by, like whatever happened to come by the table he was sitting at. Like a guy in a bar played a song. It's his favorite song of the year.
Oh, no.
And I love that. I love it. It's like the way normal people consume music.
Charmed life.
We're trying to find everything, you know?
At least the one in the bar, that was a song I'd heard of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. I will see you later.
Hey, our next taping will be in, well, am I right that the next time we speak, it will be 2021?
Hells yeah, man.
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to y'all.
Let's get out of this. All right, 2020, 24 hours to go. Talk to you later.
Well done, Timmy. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're having as much fun as we are, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a rating on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to podcasts, give us a shout. And then check us out on Twitter or at our Facebook page, 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electricast. Electricast.